Hi, I'm George Newman, author of How Great Ideas Happen, The Hidden Steps Behind Breakthrough Success. I'm a professor at the University of Toronto, and I've spent my career trying to unravel the mysteries of what creativity is and where it comes from. But my fascination with creativity started long before I became a professor. I grew up in a family of classical musicians and spent years trying to make it as a visual artist before eventually deciding to pack up my paintbrushes and pursue a degree in cognitive science. That journey from feeling creativity from the inside as part of a daily practice and method to studying it from the outside as a researcher and academic revealed something surprising that contradicts almost everything we're told about where great ideas come from. Most of us think great ideas are conjured from within, some mysterious well of genius that's possessed by only a special few. But if you listen closely to history's most celebrated creators, you'll hear something that's completely different. They describe their greatest work not as something they conjured or invented, but as something they found. Not creation, but discovery. I'm going to share with you five key insights from my research that can transform how you approach creativity in your daily life, whether you're an artist, a musician, a scientist, an entrepreneur, or just somebody looking to expand your creative horizons. Insight one, the 5% novelty rule. There's a famous story about Post-it notes. In 1968, a chemist named Spencer Silver was trying to create a super strong adhesive that could be used to make airplanes. Instead, he wound up discovering pretty much the exact opposite, a glue that was barely strong enough to hold paper together, though it could be used again and again without losing its stickiness. For years, Silver brainstormed different products. His first big idea was a sticky bulletin board. That went nowhere. The next idea, which came from his colleague Art Fry, was a reusable bookmark. That also flopped. Finally, after almost a decade of brainstorming, Silver landed on Post-it notes, and the rest is history. Now, Silver's story is often told as one of grit and perseverance. And no doubt, stick-to-itiveness is an important part of creativity. But there's another part of the story that often gets missed. When you think about it, the sticky bulletin board, reusable bookmarks, and Post-its, essentially, those are three different versions of the basic same idea, paper plus Silver's adhesive. And yet, only one was a major hit. Often, when we think about what makes certain ideas great, there's a tendency to focus on the differences, how much a breakthrough idea towers above the rest. But rather than focusing on what differentiates great ideas, I want you to instead think about the similarities, how close those breakthrough ideas are to many others that are just like it. Just like in the story of Post-its, for every great idea we can point to in history, there were dozens, maybe even hundreds of ideas that were just like it, nearly identical versions of the same thing that failed to catch on because they lacked a small but crucial detail. Did you know, for example, that when John Lennon originally wrote the Beatles song, Please Please Me, it was a slow ballad? It was George Martin who suggested that the group try speeding it up. Would the Beatles not have been the Beatles without that small tempo change? It seems almost impossible to imagine, and yet history is full of examples which suggest exactly that. How many breakthrough ideas are sitting in somebody's drawer right now, just one small adjustment away from changing the world? The truth is that great ideas aren't about inventing something radically new. They're about finding the missing adjustment or tweak that unlocks an idea and makes it your own. We often get this backward. In my own research on creativity, I found that when people set out to do something creative, they often focus too much on trying to be original and different from everyone else. For example, in one study, we had home chefs create sandwiches for a food truck. We found that our chefs thought that the more original they made their recipe, the more attractive it would be to others. But when we presented those sandwiches to customers, we found the exact opposite. The more original the chefs tried to be, the less willing customers were to try their sandwiches. The problem? Those chefs had forgotten the most important ingredient of all, making their food actually taste good. We also analyzed multiple seasons of the show Top Chef and found the same thing there. When contestants explicitly said they were trying to be original and different from everyone else, they were more than twice as likely to have the worst rated dish and be kicked off the show. So stop trying to reinvent the wheel. Just make it spin a little differently. The recipe for a great idea is surprisingly simple. Make the main dish conventional, something that's familiar and known, and then add something special, a twist or a spice, making it new, exciting, and your own. Insight two, be a problem finder. Okay, so you need to find that missing 5%, but how? One of my favorite studies on creativity comes from one of my favorite psychologists, Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. Try saying that three times in a row. Csikszentmihalyi spent years investigating what distinguished truly creative individuals and he found something unexpected. The most creative people weren't just good at solving problems, they were exceptional at finding them. In one study, Csikszentmihalyi and his colleague Jacob Getzels recruited a group of art students who were studying at the prestigious Art Institute of Chicago. One by one, each of the artists was led into a studio furnished with two tables. On one table was a collection of objects that artists might typically use to create a still life, and on the other table were drawing supplies like paper and pencils and charcoal. The instructions were straightforward. Choose some objects from the first table, arrange them in any manner you like, and then create a drawing. And the artists were free to take as much time as they wanted, start over if they needed, and stop only when they were satisfied with the outcome. Most of the artists quickly got to work. But some artists did something different. They spent time handling the objects, feeling their weight, studying them from different angles, looking at the negative space that formed in between them. They were searching for something, a problem worth solving, or a question worth asking. Then Csikszentmihalyi waited for 18 years. And when he followed up with those artists nearly two decades later, the ones who talked about drive or ambition were not the ones who were successful, nor was it the ones who opined generally on the importance of seeking beauty or order or harmony. It wasn't the artists who seemed confident, nor was it the ones who had worked out a deep philosophical approach to their practice. Instead, it was the problem finders, the artists who had approached the drawing without any preconceived notions and allowed the shape and structure of their still life to emerge from the situation itself. The lesson here is that when it comes to finding the missing element that unlocks a breakthrough idea, it is essential to adopt the mindset of a problem finder. When we pay close attention to our surroundings, new opportunities and challenges begin to reveal themselves. Our task then is to learn to recognize these signals, to see that creativity isn't just about finding solutions, but about uncovering what an idea needs. In my book, I make an analogy between creativity and archaeology. Yes, finding a great idea takes a lot of work, trial and error, and even a bit of luck. But there's also a lot that you can do to increase your chances of finding something great. The key is staying attentive to the world around you. Notice where there are problems, tensions, places of resonance. Author Margaret Atwood doesn't just sit in a cabin waiting for inspiration. She digs through the archives, historical records, and newspaper clippings to find inspiration for her stories. Creativity isn't magic. It's about looking outward and remaining attentive to the world around you. Insight 3, push past the creative cliff. Once you've found your problem, it's time to dig. And here's where most people sabotage themselves. Researchers Brian Lucas and Lauren Norgren ask people to brainstorm ideas for 5 minutes, things like how a charity could increase donations. Before starting, they ask participants to predict their productivity. How many ideas do you think you'll come up with in the first minute? How about in the second minute? And so on. People expected the first 2 minutes to be productive, and then a sharp drop-off after that. Raffle, bake sale, door-to-door solicitations, really. I mean, how many fundraising ideas could there be? But then when people actually brainstormed, something fascinating happened. The first minute was strong. The second minute was even better. But then instead of falling off a cliff, participants just kept generating more and more ideas. The third minute was more productive than the second, the fourth and fifth even more productive than that. And what's more, when other people rated the ideas, they scored the ideas from the latter half of the session as more promising than the earlier ideas. We call this the creative cliff illusion. People think they'll run out of ideas, but the opposite is true. Just when you think you've exhausted every possibility, that's probably when your process is really starting to heat up. Look at some of the most successful creators in history. Thomas Edison held more than 1,000 patents, including duds like cement furniture and creepy talking dolls. James Dyson built over 5,000 prototypes before finalizing his vacuum design. And when Dua Lipa recorded Radical Optimism, she wrote 97 songs. Only 11 made the final cut. The rule of thumb, when you think that you're done brainstorming, just keep digging. Generate 100 or 500 names for your business, not just 10. Schedule multiple brainstorming sessions over several days, not just one. Remember, when it comes to generating ideas, more is more. Insight 4. Great ideas are worth waiting for. But if you're generating hundreds of ideas, how do you know which ones are worth pursuing? What does a great idea even feel like? There's a wonderful anecdote about Albert Einstein that captures this perfectly. Years after developing his theory of relativity, Einstein was discussing his creative process with his friend, psychologist Max Wertheimer. And Einstein explained that before his big breakthrough, he'd been bothered by something. Not confused, not stuck, bothered. There was a tension that he couldn't resolve, a gap between what he observed and what the current theories predicted. That discomfort, that sense of something just not feeling right, was the spark that eventually led to one of the greatest scientific breakthroughs in history. In fact, what the research shows is that we can be surprisingly bad at knowing when we've struck gold. One reason is that great ideas, especially when we first think of them, can feel abstract and even a bit uncomfortable. A second reason is that we can become overly attached to an idea simply because we were the person who thought of it. In my own research, I found that people actually have a great deal of difficulty evaluating the quality of their own ideas, in part because of the sudden rush of excitement we get when thinking of them. One solution is to simply wait. We become significantly better at evaluating our own ideas with a little time and space. Another solution is to invite others in. I found in the same research that other people can provide a much more accurate assessment of an idea's promise precisely because they are less attached to it. But this is worth doing because great ideas are worth waiting for. In fact, studies of entrepreneurs have shown that the very first kernel of an idea can predict a product's success just as much as the final product itself. Ideas contain structure. They suggest what comes next. So don't rush past the discomfort. Lean into it. Bring others in. The ideas that bother you, that feel awkward or strange, these might be exactly what you're looking for. Insight 5. Think about what you can take away. Now comes the hard part, deciding what to keep and what to discard. In 1984, Paul Simon was in a funk. His marriage to Carrie Fisher had ended, and his previous albums were commercial disappointments. Then a friend gave him an unmarked cassette of street music from South Africa. Simon listened to it nonstop. By summer's end, he knew he had to go to Johannesburg. Simon spent 2 weeks in South Africa recording studios, essentially jamming with local musicians, generating as much material as possible. Then he returned to the U.S. and spent an entire year editing. He selected engaging segments, pieced them together, overdubbed, and transformed those freeform sessions into songs. The editing was so extensive that Simon pioneered the use of digital audio workstations in studio recording. The result was Graceland, which many consider to be Paul Simon's greatest work. But here's what was crucial. Simon wasn't looking for what he could add, he was looking for what he could take away. This goes against our instincts. Psychologist Gabrielle Adams and her colleagues have shown that when improving a piece of writing, rather than removing the redundancies, most people just add more material. Or in another study with visual designs, people almost never remove elements, they just keep adding more. Here's a mental model that helps. It's easy to think about creativity like building a tower. You want to stack up everything you've done and showcase all your effort. But your audience isn't in the tower business. They're in the raft inspection business. They're looking for holes, for the weak spots that'll sink a project. So when you're refining your idea, think about floating a raft. Remove anything that doesn't directly serve your core purpose. Often, the biggest breakthroughs are revealed when we're able to strip away everything that's not needed. I'll leave you with this. Creativity isn't a mysterious gift possessed by a chosen few. It's a process of discovery that anyone can learn. Stop waiting for genius to strike. Start exploring, imitating, problem finding. Push past the cliff when you want to quit. Trust the discomfort of a promising idea. And remember that great ideas are often hiding in plain sight. You just need to know where to look and what to strip away. The tools of discovery are available to all of us. You just have to be willing to dig. Thanks for listening.